What's going on, everybody? It is episode 187 of The Hype. Cody here. Dan is
What's going on, Cody? I actually wasn't sure if you were going to start it off or not. So, like, I was just waiting. And I was like, is it going to be me? You know, is it going to be you? And then we had that little pause and you took it.
I took the ball and ran.
You took the ball and ran with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not trying to steal the company or anything.
No, I love it. I love it. I'm the sidekick, man. I'm the sidekick.
Doug is not here to start the episode, but later on, Doug and I, actually, you'll see, we're going to travel back in time because I actually have longer hair in the second part of this video, so that'll be a little fun. We have to go back to the future and talk Bowman baseball, which, if you are watching this here on the Mojo Break media feed, our video, you guys are probably noticing we're doing Bowman all day long on the main feed. Bowman baseball, it's here, one of the biggest releases of the year, so we're breaking that all day long. If you're watching us on Mojo Break media live right now, head on over to Mojo Break, and that's where you'll find some Bowman baseball breaks all day long. You looking forward to Bowman?
Looking forward to Bowman. I always look forward to Bowman, and I'm looking forward to at least one Super Fractor. At least one. In order to have a Bowman release day, right, you gotta have one Super Fractor.
We may have already hit it, for all we know.
We could have. And I'm calling it. I'm calling it. Early morning Super Fractor. We're gonna pull it.
Yoelki Super Fractor.
Calling it first hobby case.
First?
Well, we're doing two jumbos.
Right.
First hobby case. I'm calling Super Fractor. It's a bold statement. I don't know who it's going to be, but I can feel it.
It's a bold statement.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
If it doesn't happen, I'll be like, I was way off.
Dan Stradamus. But we are also talking about a couple other big releases coming this week, which we've already broken some on Monday. F1, Topps Chrome. I think this is kind of a theme that we're going to be talking about here. There are some really big releases this week that go beyond the world of baseball, football, basketball, hockey, even soccer, with the alternative sports. Things like F1 are hot in the streets right now. Things like UFC, Prism are big right now. There's a lot of hype surrounding those releases. I think in the last year, Dan, we've kind of talked about what are the trends in the hobby, of course, as the hobby has gained prominence to where it's become mainstream in our culture once again. And now I think we're starting to see how big is this thing going to be, where now things like Formula One and things like UFC, which I want to call UFC like on the fringes of the sports world anymore. It's firmly like right in the middle.
You could make an argument that it's getting close to taking over the NHL for popularity.
It's really close. I mean, definitely gone ahead of boxing.
It's absolutely taken over boxing. But yeah, it's on the tails of NHL. Now, we've talked about it before. NHL getting that, going to be broadcast on ESPN. I think that's going to be a huge boost.
Yeah, just signed a deal with Turner Sports.
Yep. So that's going to be a huge boost to NHL, because that was the issue. I mean, I grew up watching NHL Tonight. I think you grew up watching NHL
right.
Tonight. And besides, I think they had NHL TV at some point. I don't even know if they have that anymore. The NHL channel.
I think NHL Network is still
NHL Network. Yeah, but I miss my NHL Tonight. Hopefully they bring it back. We'll see. But F1, we'll start talking about that. Chrome, iconic release through all the categories. I mean, they've had, Topps has had Chrome Basketball back in the day, the iconic 03-04 LeBron James Chrome. It's a flagship release for all of baseball. Bowman Chrome, Topps Chrome. They've actually, I mean, when they had the license, they had Topps Chrome Football. It was a great way, and it wasn't this, the Formula One, Topps Chrome wasn't the first release. They did have Dynasty, which is an ultra high-end, one encased patch auto, or sometimes just on-card auto, but Chrome, a great way to introduce that category to the masses.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I think it's such a good move for them to, like you said, use a flagship product. Everyone likes shiny.
Yep.
And to introduce this, at least on Topps' side, to introduce that to the world as the Formula One being introduced to the Topps brand. I don't think we're going to make any argument that, like, F1 is going to take over basketball cards and baseball cards. No one feels that way. But I think that there is definitely, I think this is showing, one, the strength of the hobby right now, that things like F1 are super in demand, the prices are high, and which of these sports, I guess, of, you know, you're looking at F1, UFC, I think we can even go beyond. We saw golf have a little bit of a resurgence.
Of those do you think Upper Deck has the golf license, yeah, and they are going to get back into releasing golf. That product, everybody is speculating, is going to go through the roof. So you're right. I mean, these alternate sports like categories are blowing up. Star Wars has always been very consistent. Yep. We get allocated on that stuff. Actually, the last couple Star Wars, I put in pre-orders and I got zero. They don't make a ton of it. Huge fan base for Star Wars, and their fans, even if you're not a trading card collector, if you're a Star Wars fan, you're going to be into Star Wars trading cards.
Yeah, that's a totally other untapped thing that we haven't even really touched on a lot on the show. We talk about Pokemon sometimes, mm-hmm, but like, yeah, entertainment cards as well, where Star Wars and Marvel are super strong brands. But
yep,
to go back to the alternative sports, it's kind of maybe a combination of the entertainment and sports. Some of the things we've mentioned, but the one that I think, and it's probably already at a point where it's like, dude, it has been taken off, is WWE. I think you saw like the Dwayne Johnson, the card. I mean, I know it's a football card, but that Dwayne Johnson University of Miami card, those, anytime you see that go up for sale, whether it be on whatever secondary market or eBay, it's going for crazy money right now. I think that's the one that has the most potential of these sort of the second tier, mm-hmm, of sports cards to really take off, just because of, one, you have sort of the entertainment factor in it, and I think a lot of sports personalities, a lot of athletes also really dig that stuff. I think that's the one to watch if you're thinking of which of these alternate sports, like if you're into that investment mode, I think for me, I would look at WWE.
Yeah, WWE has been, and Topps has a license for that as well, and it's always been a solid category for them, to the point where they've actually released a Transcendent WWE, and that is a, you know, $25,000 box. I mean, that's like the tippy top of any product. So if they are willing to make a product at that price point, you know that there is substantial, I'm trying to think what I'm saying here, substantial like drive for that. So like people definitely are looking for it. You actually look at, and it's crazy because a lot of these fighters or these wrestlers, they sign at tons of different events. There's no shortage of their autos, but you look at like Stone Cold, his autos go through the roof. Undertaker, his autos are through the roof. Hulk Hogan's been signing forever. His autos are through the roof. The Rock, obviously, through the roof. Yeah. Like, it's crazy that there is no shortage of these entertainers' autos, but they still catch a premium. So
yeah, it is that perfect, like that in between where you get an autograph of like a Dwayne Johnson of The Rock. Like, again, that is one of the biggest stars of the world on top of him being a wrestling superstar. I guess maybe UFC maybe has the most potential to also sort of crack into that as well. There is a feeling of like the personalities of wrestling that are in UFC, except, you know, there's the reality of like it's real combat. Mm-hmm. So I think that also has a really big potential to make that jump, and of course being associated with the Prizm brand for UFC now that they've moved over to Panini, I think also makes them really of these sports we're talking about, the other one that can make that leap into the mainstream.
Yeah, I think the real big demand, and like you're saying, the leap in prices for UFC is what I feel is because it is Prizm. And even if it's not going to be like a rookie auto or like a future star auto, it's going to be all these fighters' first Prizm card. So,
exactly.
I mean, you could actually look at it and go, yeah, it's not, maybe they've been fighting for 5-6 years, but it's their first Prizm. So you look at 12-13, which was the first basketball Prizm, all those players get a premium. Curry, I mean, any star player, I mean, almost at the point where like any common from 12-13 is worth a pretty substantial amount of money for being a base card. I think you're going to see the same exact thing. And I think that's what people are speculating with the UFC, is that no matter who the fighter is, it's their first prism. So yeah, the base cards and the parallels, you're not even going to be looking for the autos as much as you're going to be looking for the parallels and even the base cards.
Which, if we end up breaking that, which I know that's, again, hot in the streets, hard to come by, but it'll make it easier for us because I'm admittedly not the biggest UFC guy. You know, you got to know what you don't know, but every card you pull, like, hey, what a hit, first prism.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know much, and I really don't know UFC. UFC and Formula One, we're talking about two things that I've never watched a Formula
One.
Yeah,
that's the thing. I think it is also, this is the thing, this is our personal problems. Like, I think I realized I got to start watching a lot more stuff if we're going to break a lot of this.
Yeah, that's going to be a hard sell to the wife. I don't know about you, but like, if I basically
I got to be up at 3 a.m. There's a race in Monaco. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's part of the job. I got to know who we're breaking. I know Lewis Hamilton, but that's as far as
I mean, I just picked up NASCAR the last year. I think if I go and tell the wife that I'm going to have to follow another sport, she'll be like, you need to chill out.
Yeah.
Like, you need to stop.
It might be. That's where, yeah, it might get a little bit tough for that. But it's incredible, I think, to see just the growth of the hobby that these sports that I think when you guys were starting 10 years ago, you wouldn't even be thinking. If somebody said, hey, you want these cards? Like, no, go away. And now it's, I mean, we had, like I said, we had an F1 break that was sold out, like, instantly. Or it was, you know, it's pretty incredible to see just how much it's grown. And I think it also speaks to how much it's the fan base of the hobby, of the types of people who collect, has grown. And you throw out something like an F1 product or a UFC that is high quality product, like, you're gonna open yourselves up to a whole new clientele that it would never even probably
touch. And I go back to, I mean, not even that long ago, 2014, Prism World Cup came out and we got a bunch of it. And I mean, watch a little bit of soccer, but I wouldn't say I watch enough of soccer to really know. I mean, I know, you know, Ronaldo, Messi, like the main players, but like, I remember struggling to sell that. I remember doing giveaways, just giving it away to people. Same thing with 2018 World Cup. We were literally giving it away. We were doing personal boxes at 20% below cost. Doug just bought a box for $3,200.
We
couldn't sell it for $80.
Right. That's why if somebody's watching and saying, why aren't you talking about soccer? Because I don't consider that in that category anymore, of this alternative sports category. I think it is now firmly in the big five.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, we get people buying MLS. We get people, obviously, the Premier League stuff is incredibly popular. The World Cup stuff is incredibly popular. I don't think you can consider that in this alternative category anymore. Soccer's is one of the top sports.
It's worldwide.
And it has been.
It's international.
You go outside of America, and it has always been up at the top in terms of
culture. And with group breaking, I mean, we do probably 15 to 20% of our orders are actually international. So we have a pretty substantial international clientele. So when you have soccer and you have F1, that's going to sell.
Yeah.
And I think that is really what is also driving the domestic market up on everything. The singles, the boxes, the cases. It's the market's growing, and it's growing internationally, not just domestically.
Yeah. It's incredible to see. Before we do move on to our Bowman segment, I do just have to throw out, speaking of everything growing in this market, the LeBron James Exquisite RPA that sold, PWCC sold it for $5.2 million.
We were right yesterday.
Yeah.
We were talking about this, and I remember I told you and Doug, I'm like, I thought it was over $5 million. And then Doug was like, no, I think it was like $1 million. And then you were like, no, somebody was saying $5 million.
It's 5.2.
So it tied the highest ever, which was the 52 mantle.
Yeah, the 52 mantle ties that. I almost feel like a broken record at this point, that every single time a new one sells, and you could speak to it too, that it's like, it can't get bigger than this. And yet it always finds a way, in such a short amount of time, it has found a way to, I mean, I think every 2 to 3 months, and that's not an exaggeration, every 2 to 3 months we are talking about a new card setting a new standard.
Well, I mean, you've been here for about like 8 months.
Since July.
Yeah, so.
And there's already been, I think, 4 record-breaking cards.
Yeah, and maybe it's you.
It's all thanks to me. You're welcome.
That's what Cody does. He comes in, he changes the market single-handedly. No, I mean, but it's crazy. We've had this conversation multiple times. We've done the hype, and we're like, all right, card sold for $2 million. We'll never see that again. Yeah. That's the peak. We had a good run, but $2 million. Never going to surpass that. Then we hit $3 million. Well, that's never going to happen. Now we're at $5 million. We joked about it before. In 6 months, in a year, are we going to be like, well, we finally had our card, one card sell for $10 million.
I really think that's going to happen by the end of the year at this point. I'm at the point now, and I remember, I think in November when there was, I can't remember what card it was that had a record sale, but I think I threw out $5 million as an over-under.
Yeah.
Like, is this, in 6 months, $5 million over-under?
And you can probably go back and look at the tape. I probably, Downer Dan was like, nope, not going to happen. We're not going to see $5
million. And it's happened twice since. It's happened twice since. It's incredible to see. It shows the amount of money that is getting thrown into this thing. I think the Luka one was also, see, here's the thing is the LeBron in the mantle, like, I get it. $5 million for literally the best version of the mantle card and literally the best version of the LeBron card. But the Luka card that sold for, what, $4 million, I think is the moment I went, things are getting insane. As great as he is, that just seems
when I was seeing
still seems
when I was seeing Jordan rookies floating around the $1 million mark, like, you know, $750,000 and stuff like that, I'm like, this is ridiculous, because I remember when these cards were, you can get them for under, you can get them for around $20,000. They made a lot of those cards. Every day you can go on eBay and it may not be a Gem Mint 10, but you could find a PSA rookie of Michael Jordan. When
the Kobe Bryants,
when people were selling 89 Ken Griffey Jr. upper deck cards for $4,500, $5,000. I was buying those for buybacks for $300. And I remember I was like, this is an iconic card, but I don't know if people are going to see the value because there's so many of them. Everybody that I know collected cards had an 89 upper deck rookie Ken Griffey Jr. Probably not graded, but everybody had one.
Had something.
Because they may have made a million of them. $5,000. That right there was like, I had to take a step back and go, okay, what is happening? And you've seen some fluctuation. The Jordan cards have come down.
Yeah.
The Ken Griffey Jr. cards have come down. You look at it and go, was there some market manipulation going on at that time? Who knows?
That's the thing that I do kind of come back on when I have to, like, think about why is this happening. It's not just, you know, obviously the hobby's grown, but I think there's also an influx of sort of a stock market Wall Street mentality that's entered, with obviously a lot of different apps where you can, and new marketplaces where you can sell your cards, and you invest a little bit in your card like a stock market. So I think there are a lot of these big sales are those types of guys who are looking at it as an investment, and they're not thinking of it as like, or they're just, it's a flex of just like, I have the money to do this and I want to show it off to everybody. But I think that's really why, is that you have those types of people who now have entered the hobby on top of the people who are.
It's hard to do market manipulation with something that is like obviously short printed.
Yeah.
The LeBrons have been selling the exquisites. Those are numbered. There's a limited amount of those. Same thing with like the Luka logo, man. Obviously, like hard to compare it to anything else. There's only one of them. But when you start looking at these mass-produced rookie cards that are Gem 10s, like the Griffey, you look at the PSA Pop Report, and it is there's not a limited amount of 10s out there. Right. So if you take and this is hypothetical, and this is kind of a conspiracy, but if you basically have somebody, a group of people who are like, all right, there's a lot of these cards. It's an iconic card. We're going to swoop up every single one we possibly can. So we're going to have, say there's 1,000 PSA 10s. We're going to have 250 of them. And then we're going to start putting them out into the market, and this group is going to bid them up. And we're going to have completed auctions of $5,000. Well, we have five of them sell for that amount. Now we've kind of set the bar. That's the new market now. Yeah. This group has 245 of those left. Now they bought them for, you know, $300. Now they're worth $5,000. Now you start pushing them out into the market, and you have other people buying them, and it just, you know, artificially grows the market. I mean, I don't know if that happens, but it with the Kingerby Juniors, it was and the Trouts. The Trout 2011 Topps update, when all of a sudden it was like a $6,000 card.
Like a couple months ago that was happening.
I was like, what is going on? And I'm like, these cards are not limited. So I look at those types of cards that are mass produced, huge pop report, and start going through the roof as there probably is some type of funny thing going on in the market that we're not really sure of.
And I think, again, it speaks to sort of the types of people and the types of mentalities entering the hobby that have entered in the last year.
Yeah, you're right.
Especially the ones with a lot of the money. It's not that, you know, the casual people who have entered the hobby again, who saw, hey, this is cool, it's taking off again. It's not about that. It's the people who have seen it more as the investment side rather than the I like to collect side. So
yeah. Pump and dump. I mean, you could also look at it, and maybe it's people who were into crypto who are starting to get into cards. When you're investing, it's all about like diversifying your portfolio. Right. So if you're into crypto, you don't want to have all your eggs in one basket. You're going to go into maybe stocks. You're going to go into real estate. You're going to go into trading cards. And I think trading cards was never really thought of as an investment. But now I think those people who do investments are looking at it as a viable investment and an asset.
Obligatory, got to ask it. Let's say over under 6 months, this record gets broken for the LeBron card.
I don't think so. I got to say no. I don't think so. I don't think it does. I think we basically are. I hate to say it. I think we're basically just surpassed the peak. I think you've seen it with the basketball market a little bit. The current basketball market, it's starting to trend down a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, the bottom isn't falling out by any means, but it's starting to slowly trend down. And it also has to do with the season winding down. You had Wiseman out for the year. You had the kid for the Wizards.
Oh, Adiha went down.
Adiha went down. LaMelo was hurt.
He's been hurt. He'll be back soon.
He's coming back. So that also plays into the prices starting to trickle down on individual cards. But
it just takes one good rookie class. And this is supposed to be a really good rookie class for the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, we say that every year. Yeah. But yeah, I guess that kid Suggs is going to be
the kid from Oklahoma State.
Yeah. I go back to football. Football this coming draft is going to be insane. This coming 2021 football.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned hobby. The draft, which we'll probably get into that next week when the draft's fully complete. But yeah, it's going
to
be.
But crazy. Hold on, because like that is going to next year's football releases are going to be maybe the hottest we've ever seen any category do.
I don't think that's even a doubt. I don't even think it's a doubt.
You look at football, and football, it's again like basketball. It's all about the rookie class. Baseball is always going to be steady. It's always going to be right there, really consistent. There's always going to be prospects that are put into a Bowman release that go unnoticed initially, and then like the Cody Bellingers and the Acuñas. Like when those products released, those were not the players that you were specifically looking for.
Right.
So there's always those prospects that basically go under the radar during release, and then they're the marquee player that you're chasing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to make a point with what I think there is going to be a card that is going to top that LeBron James, I think, in the next, I'll say 6 months, 12 months.
Yeah.
But I do want to get back to baseball.
What card?
Get down in a second, because I got this point about baseball I want to make. Because I do think there, I've mentioned it before, I really, really do believe that like this next draft class for baseball, you are actually going to see for the first time, and maybe this is me just being too big a baseball fan and not reading the room and realizing that not everyone is insane about baseball like I am, but it's going to be a draft at the All-Star game. Going to be a lot more eyes on it than usual. There's no other events happening in the sports world other than the All-Star game and this year the MLB draft. And that's going to be the best opportunity for baseball to create actual big names to be drafted. And it helps that you have a program like Vanderbilt right now that is actually a marquee program where the top two players are going to come out of there. So I do think there's going to be a bit of a change here. If there's any year where like Bowman draft actually goes through the roof, it is this year.
I do like how Major League Baseball is putting a little jet fuel behind their draft process.
They've needed it.
Because if you've ever watched a Major League Baseball draft, it's like watching paint dry.
It is.
If you think baseball's boring,
just wait till the draft.
Just wait till the draft. And I mean, it's funny because it goes hand in hand with the one issue that people have with baseball. It's slow. It's boring. The draft fits right in with that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. It's true to what people hate about the game.
And MLB Network just made that decision to air the MLB draft, what, I think in 2009, and could not have gotten luckier. You know that only one player showed up for that draft?
In 2009? Strasburg?
One Mike Trout.
Oh.
The only guy to show up to the studios in New Jersey. And that's kind of why, like, you ask the younger players who show up now, because they want to be Mike Trout. Like, oh, I saw him show up to the draft. Now I'm going to show up.
Yeah,
Strasburg was a year after.
But they're also doing, aren't they doing some type of home run derby during the All-Star?
A few years ago, they started the high school home run derby.
Yeah, Blaze Jordan
took off. And I think they saw, oh, look at this hype we've built for this kid. And you're seeing it now with today's Bowman release, that Blaze Jordan's one of those guys that everybody wants. I think they're finally realizing we can hype up these guys, that just like the NBA draft does and just like the NFL draft does, we're able to hype up these guys. And maybe in a way they see like the NBA draft, the way it's changing, where a lot more players are going international.
Mm-hmm.
The college stuff is not as big a deal. Maybe that baseball's seeing, okay, how do we not become that? We're already not that relevant when it comes to college. How can we at least, you know, put our foot in the door a little bit?
I mean, you look at the way football does their draft and they make it an experience.
Mm-hmm.
Scouting combine. I mean, and not then sure. it basically, it's one of the most exciting things to watch throughout the whole season. I mean, I love watching the NFL draft. I look forward to it.
It's an entertaining product.
The way they perform it, the way they do it, they always have it. I mean, before COVID, they would have it like, you know, they'd have like 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 fans there. I think one year they had it in like Chicago. They had tons of fans there.
Yeah.
It's definitely like an experience.
It's such a shame they didn't get to do it. Obviously for obvious reasons, but to not do it in Vegas last year.
Yeah, Vegas.
In front of the fountains at the, was it the Bellagio?
And where are they doing it this year?
Cleveland.
Cleveland.
So, you know, just a step below Vegas.
I've been to both, and it's a toss-up.
No offense, Cleveland.
I've been to both.
They're nice people.
It's a toss-up, man. It's a toss-up. No, Vegas would be very cool for the draft.
Yeah, it will happen there when they can.
You're probably going to see it in SoFi, the new stadium for the Rams and Chargers.
Yeah.
I think the NFL Network headquarters is based out of LA. So
Glendale, yeah, they're over there. Yeah, so I know we kind of gone all over the place here, but the point is, you're seeing, I think, all three major sports that we collect baseball, basketball, football, all three are going to have potentially really good draft classes. So if you were thinking maybe 2021, things are going to go down, the LeBron James sale and the current draft classes that we're awaiting, I think kind of show, I don't think that's happening.
I think you're finally going to see, I mean, it's going to be, you're going to dig it. Pitcher is going to get a lot of love because the main, I mean, first pick overall is, should be.
It's probably going to be Jack Leiter.
Okay.
And then you're looking at.
We talked about it before. Mark Leiter's kid.
Al Leiter's kid.
I think I did that last time too.
Al's kid, his uncle is Mark.
Mark Leiter, so the former Giant great.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure that's Al's kid. And then Kumar Rocker, who is the number two pitcher, who actually was expected.
And that is John Rocker's kid.
Couldn't be further from the truth.
It's not.
Most definitely not.
I went for it.
He will be probably. He was expected to be the number one pick.
Okay.
Probably will either be. He'll be top four. There's four guys who are like locked in those top four.
Pitcher.
Spots. Also a pitcher.
Okay. So,
Al Leiter threw Jack Leiter threw a no hitter. Earlier okay. this year, and Kumar Rocker, I want to say, had like a 15 strikeout game.
So both college guys.
Both college guys, both go to Vanderbilt.
So fast track to the MLB, probably.
Very fast.
Because that's also the thing with, you get a high school pitcher go in the top, 10. They're going to have to go to the minors and learn how to pitch. They may have electric stuff, but there's a process of learning how to pitch.
Right.
Where you kind of learn that in college. So you kind of get that fast track to the show.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll see those guys in – they get drafted this year, maybe late next year.
I would say maybe 23 would be – I'm sure that's what they're going to put the ETA is 2023.
Yep.
Could be sooner. And I think the most recent pitcher I can think of out of Vanderbilt, Walker Buehler. He's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
I said I was going to mention what card I think is going to break the record, and I actually don't think it's that much of a mystery. I think Patrick Mahomes, if Patrick Mahomes has another Super Bowl by the end of February 2022, I think he ends up breaking your record.
Okay. That's fair enough. I think...
And it could be sooner.
I think that could. That could be it. I mean, you think of basketball and you're like, what basketball card could it be?
Mm-hmm.
I think LeBron is kind of the peak, right? I don't know if we can, because they didn't. I don't think they made one of ones.
Yeah, I should say I know that it sounds crazy like that, because what we just saw that Tom Brady rookie. Finally break the football record, and it's not even sniffing the all-time record. But I just think that the combination of Mahomes coming to prominence in the hobby boom era and him being young enough where there's sort of the Luka feel of like, well, I'm doing this because $4 or $5 million on this card now will look like a bargain in 10 years is what the person buying it feels like.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's maybe it's going out on a limb, but I think that Mahomes is.
No, I mean, I think I could see that. I could see that. Like some kind of crazy, like, prism one of one, or maybe the Shield RPA from National Treasures.
I can't pin down exactly what card that is, but I think you would know.
NT Shield. Yeah,
that would
probably be it. But yeah, that's. And you don't, with Mahomes, like, his story is still being written.
Right.
Like, he can go off and he could win 5 Super Bowls.
Right.
I mean, he could win more. He can win 6. He can win 7. He can beat Brady's record. Who knows? He's young. He's still young. The Chiefs are good. I don't think they're going to go through a rebuilding process anytime soon. He's there forever, pretty much. He signed a huge contract. So, I mean, that's crazy. I got a couple things before we go. Not card related. Explain your shirt. Is that Bob's Big Boy? But that's Bob's Burgers.
Bob's Burgers
in the Bob's Big Boy uniform.
It says Big Bob.
Big Bob
for Big Boy's Burgers.
Yeah,
Southern California staple. And
I like it.
Bob's Burgers. I like it.
It is a great show.
Love that
show. And Mortal Kombat came out on HBO. Did you watch it?
I haven't watched it.
You haven't watched it?
I haven't watched it.
Oh, man. Have you seen the original one?
years ago. You know what, though? I was a little too young to probably watch the original. So if I had, it was bits and pieces.
I think it was definitely, I want to say it was like a PG-13, maybe.
I wouldn't call myself a shielded child. I mean, my mom let us watch The Simpsons at probably far too young an age. So thanks for that, Mom. Honestly, I genuinely mean that. Thank you. But even Mortal Kombat, I think, might have been a step too far for some.
Yeah,
like, no, you're not gonna play that.
Yeah.
So I think that I didn't discover it till probably in my teenage.
The game was brutal. The game was like nothing I have ever seen when I played when it came out. And I'm dating myself here. When Mortal Kombat came out, I was probably 10, right in the heyday of my video game playing career. And for something to come out where you can, like, there was blood, real blood, and you can, like, do a fatality and rip somebody's heart out, yeah, you could sign me up. Sign up the 10-year-old me. 100%. I'm into it. And it's a video game, so, like, it was cool. Like, don't worry about it. Like, yeah. I was like, I'm all, how bad can it be? Like, Mario Brothers is a video game. Mortal Kombat, video game. Same thing.
Same thing. Now, see, for me, the moment I go from playing Mario to something more adult is around the same age as you, 10, 11, maybe 12. It's when I start playing Grand Theft Auto 3.
Okay.
Where that was the moment, you know, where you're doing things that I can't even say on camera. Right?
Grand Theft Auto definitely gnarlier than Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the thing.
Teaches you a life of crime.
Right. Yeah. I'm thinking about it now. Mortal Kombat, pretty tame compared to the things I was doing.
In Grand Theft Auto, you can basically stop playing the actual game and just start going around and just rage chaos on a city. You're just stealing cars. You're punching people in the face. It's a pretty gnarly game. Mortal Kombat was definitely a lot more tamer than...
There's at least, like, there's a set of rules you have to follow, whereas... Knock yourself out. You want to put in a cheat code and jump off of a moving helicopter and then with a rocket launcher strapped to your back? Be my guest.
Mortal Kombat, you got to hit a bunch of buttons and you might be able to do some type of fatality. But yeah, definitely like are not wreaking chaos on a city. But yeah, I highly recommend it. It is rated R. Like it is a lot. It's a lot gnarlier than the original. The original I kind of thought is it was similar to Street Fighter, when Street Fighter came out.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat came out around the same time. And
definitely trying to ride, each one trying to ride off each other's coattails. Yeah,
but this was well done. Highly recommend it. Not sports card related. Maybe they'll make a Mortal Kombat sports card. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, we're just waiting. You know what? Actually, we should probably look on eBay. Maybe there's some Mortal Kombat cards.
There might be.
Around somewhere.
There might
they
be.
They are. Stay tuned.
Sweet.
All right. We're enough talking about Sub-Zero rookie cards. Let's talk Bowman. Me and Doug talked about some Bowman and went through the history of Bowman and what to look forward to from the 2021 release. Check it out.
What's up, guys? You're joined here. We got 10 years of Bowman talk. We're on the heels of the 2021 Bowman. It's going to be fun. Cody, are you looking forward to ripping some Bowman on Wednesday?
I am pumped to be opening some Bowman. I think we talked about it last week. Not like the biggest class ever, but I think there's still a lot of people. Austin Martin, Blaze Jordan. Yoelki is my guy. That's the guy I'm looking forward to, but it's Bowman, man.
It's Bowman.
There's going to be somebody that we're not talking about right now, just like every year, that in 10 years' time, 5 years' time, is going to be the biggest hit. And, you know, we're going to go over the history here, and I think you're going to see that every time you think you know who the biggest guy from Bowman's going to be, you are absolutely wrong about 90% of the time.
Exactly. And you know, we're not going to be talking about 2009, but if you're new to the hobby and you're not familiar with the 2009 Bowman draft, Mike Trout, look up the prices, because that is kind of the standard for every hitter that comes out going forward. So everybody's trying to chase that next Mike Trout, and you can see how crazy those prices are. But we're going to start with 2011, because that's a year that we broke, and it's a year that's within the 10-year scheme. And the big name that year was Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper getting his first Bowman Chrome autograph, which you can find in Bowman Chrome. He did have a 2010 USA Bowman card along with Strasburg Mania, but 2011 Bowman Chrome is where you're going to find his most valuable Chrome auto, as you can see here on the slide. And we got to talk a little Bubba. Bubba was hot that year. 2011 Bowman draft. He was the big name. Gave up going to school to play for football, to get into the draft as a high schooler. And what do you know about Bubba, Cody?
Not much, other than I was putting together these slides and going, should we put the picture of him fishing? That feels a little mean to Bubba, but that's really what he's done. He's gone fishing. He's not going to be a factor in Major League Baseball. What, he was a rookie in 2019 after 8 years of waiting, almost a decade of waiting for Bubba? It just shows you the two sides of the coin for Bubba.
Yeah, and I had a story I actually already told Cody, but it was one of the biggest cards I'd pulled back in 2011. I pulled the Bubba Starling Gold Refractor Redemption. I was so excited. Those boxes back then were like $80, $90, and I redeemed it. It came really quick, which is, you know, unlike most people's stories. I sent it to BGS, got a 9.5/10, and I sold that thing for $1,000, and that was probably one of the catapults to going, wow, cards are actually worth money. I'm telling my friends that I sold a Bubba Starling when none of my friends even know who he was, that I sold it for $1,000.
And you see on the slide what? It's going for under $50.
Yeah.
So pretty good deal there.
I usually don't talk much about my wins. I mostly talk about my losses.
That's a win.
That was a win.
Bubba was a big win. Just want to say, too, Bryce Harper, the type of player he is and the type of career trajectory he has, I think he's still a little bit underrated. There's some big, there's some really, really high price cards of Bryce Harper. But, like, compare that to some of his contemporaries, I think he's a little underrated,
yeah,
frankly.
Yeah, I think he's always looking in the shadow of Mr. Trout, so we'll see. Yeah. But, hey, if he wins wins the title for Philly, that might change everything.
That'll
right?
change everything. He looked good this week when we watched him against the Giants, so.
Yep, and speaking of Bryce Harper, his actual, you know, fandom carried on into 2012 because now he had rookie autos. So all the Bowman sets had Bryce Harper rookie autos and variations. But there was also Yu Darvish. Yu Darvish was the phenom, was the next big thing. We had Strasburg in 2010, but we had Yu Darvish in 2012, and his cards were going crazy. I remember me and Dan had a break at Dan's apartment at his kitchen table, and we pulled a gold and a blue in the same case of Darvish, and it was just literally insane. So 2012, I'd say, was highlighted by Yu Darvish.
One of the few pitchers definitely to buck the trend of that starting pitchers just don't sell in the hobby. Obviously, Darvish was such a unique personality, is such a unique person in the game of baseball to be coming over, took the game by storm, one of like the youngest pitching prospects to come out of Japan at the yep. time, and has had a very good career. Is he, you know, I don't think maybe when you look at maybe his prices at that time, does it live up to it? Probably not, but like Yu Darvish has had a very good Major League Baseball career, I'd say.
Yep, and still a nasty AB if you're a hitter, and you know, still very valuable in baseball. Maybe not as valuable as a Bowman, but still very valuable in baseball. That moves us into 2013, which was highlighted by Byron Buxton and Carlos Correa. Obviously, Carlos Correa's got that championship and all that cloud around him.
Championship.
Yeah, we put that in quotations, championship. Yeah. And Buxton, I guess you just call him a late bloomer, having some success there in Minnesota, making some diving plays. I don't know. It almost seems like you'd rather have the upside of Buxton at this point, but those were some huge names back in 2013.
Yeah, and if you see on the slide, I think these cards of theirs are basically the same exact price.
Wow.
I don't think that's something that in 2017 anyone would have said.
No.
That, oh, yeah, Correa's the guy and Buxton's the bust.
Right.
And now Buxton has had a power surge the last year or so. I think there's also a bit of that. Like, he's kind of the hot item in the streets right now, whereas yep. obviously the Astros have lost a lot of luster. Guys like him and Bregman, who were super hot. And the cheating scandal, I think, has totally diminished their value
yep.
as to what it should be, maybe if they were on a team that, you know, didn't use trash cans to win a championship.
But. And speaking of trash, I was trashed by calling Byron Buxton Byron Suxton, so I apologize to all you Byron Buxton
he's
collectors
good now.
Out there. He's no longer Suxton. He's Byron Goodston.
Yep. Doesn't rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, exactly. That's came good. Right off the tongue there. All right, we're going to move into 2014, which was highlighted by some weirdness. If you weren't collecting the hobby, you didn't know. Chris Bryant's, right? Chris Bryant was the big name everybody was chasing in 2014. The story starts like this. 2013, on Chris Bryant's Instagram, he tweets out a photo of his 2013 Bowman Super Fractor, him signing it, and everybody's like, and at that point, only thing left was Bowman Draft. So, oh, he's going to be in Bowman Draft. Everybody's excited. People are buying the Cub spots. Well, he's not in Bowman Draft. What happened? Where'd those cards go? 2014 rolls around, and Chris Bryant is now a redemption in 2014 Bowman. So everybody's thinking, okay, well, the 13 card is going to be the card we're getting. No, it's a whole other design, which has first Bowman on it, even though the 2013 is technically his first Bowman, which That whole year, they had no first Bowmans on 2013 cards. So super confusing. I don't know if they did 2013 that way specifically for Chris Bryant. But then later that year, they started introducing the 13 into Inception, into Bowman Platinum. So the 13 Bowman card was inserted amongst all the other sets. Very, very confusing, and it left collectors very confused. And I know I told you this story earlier today, Cody, and then you were looking at some prices.
Yeah, this is what confused me, as if there wasn't enough confusion.
Right.
That as I was looking at prices here, obviously that 13, that original one, is the one that seems to be the more in-demand one, I think, altogether over the 2014. But the weirdest thing, if you guys are watching us, you see that middle one that on the slide, that middle card, and it specifically says Inception on it. And it's almost double the price
insane.
Of the other two.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's just a matter of strange timing. I don't know if that's a matter of it actually because it says Inception. They think, well, this has to be different. But it's the exact same card.
Yes.
So it's a little weird. It's a little mind-boggling.
Well,
I don't quite get it. But it's. I guess this is sort of a buyer beware. Don't spend double on a card that just says it happened to come out of a one box when it.
Well, to be fair, now I'm remembering how this whole scenario went down because we were ripping then. That the Inception product was the first one.
Okay.
So I think when people submitted those to PSA, PSA thought, well, they're all going to be an Inception.
Right.
Well, it turns out they were in Bowman Platinum, they were in Bowman Sterling, they were in Bowman Chrome
as
well.
And they are, again, all the same card.
That right.
They were all basically in the same.
They
know,
just
they
like
were all
split
the same
them
table
up.
That
yeah.
Chris Bryant was signing those cards when he posted that Instagram.
Absolutely, post. Absolutely. So I think PSA later was like, well, we can't just put the set on every label, so maybe that in a sense is kind of a unicorn, Cody. Maybe that's maybe there was
so.
Only a few pop reports on the Inception one.
But the other thing I guess is like if I pulled that out of a regular Bowman box and I just slapped on Inception on the title, who's to know?
Right.
You know, so
that's true.
It's a weird little wrinkle.
Definitely.
A confusing situation for everyone involved.
It totally is. So let's go to something that makes more sense. 2015, we had Cody Bellinger, which is probably the highlight of the 2015 season, along with Glaber and Swanson. And Swanson took another one of those guys took a little while to mature, and I don't know if he's even quite there yet. But the interesting thing was him, first overall pick in 2015, got traded right away. So all of his cards were on the Diamondbacks when he was actually on the Braves. So probably made it hard to collect him, but you know, now he's being collectible from Braves fans.
This is the one set, I think we talked about it last year when we were doing our baseball podcast, that this is the one set where I think it speaks to how you don't know what you've got for another 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah.
You can speak to this. Was anyone looking for Bellinger? Was anyone looking for Glaber? Was anyone looking for guys like Kyle Tucker, Andrew Benintendi? Were guys excited to get those guys when they were first opening?
Not really. I mean, Swanson had the hype because he was the first overall pick. I think Benintendi just because people back then liked Red Sox players. But yeah, not a whole lot of buzz for Bellinger. I think we had to all go back. So Bellinger was 15 regular Bowman, and then Swanson and them were in the draft.
Right.
So I think Bellinger might have been drafted in 14 and then made it in a 15 product, whereas Swanson was drafted in 15 and made it in the draft product, right? So yeah, nobody was really looking for Bellinger. I think it was one of those moments once he got called up and he was on that tear with the home runs that everybody went backwards and be like, do I have one? I might have one.
Yeah.
So
there was a lot of that. I mean, in 14 we didn't even mention it. Mookie Betts is in 2014.
Yeah.
And that is I mean, he's probably the second best, if not one of the best players in all of baseball right now. And you know, we're looking at Chris Bryant, who has had a great career. He's won an MVP, but like I think most people would say I'd rather have Mookie Betts. And even what I forgot to mention, Mark Appel.
Right, Mark
was
Appel
in that 14, and I know he's a pitcher, but all the buzz around him, everybody was in on him. Get drafted twice, Stanford kid. And I'm not even sure if he's pitched an inning of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I think he's working at Home Depot nowadays. But, you know, he's
fishing with Bubba.
He might be the best player on his co-ed softball team at this moment,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
So 16, which is crazy. So up until
insane
16,
class.
Let me tell you, Bowman was the first release of the year. Always had the one marquee name, like Bryant over the years. This year we've got Austin Martin. And then Bowman Draft would have a lot of first rounders. And Bowman Chrome was always the one that's like, what are we going to put in here? And it's always international guys. And, you know, there's usually not a whole lot of buzz in the baseball card hobby up until 16. 16 changed everything. 16, Bowman Chrome. And these are the three guys we're talking about. They were all in the same set. I don't even know what the prices of boxes are. It's insane. But Soto, Vlad, and Tatis, all in Bowman Chrome 2016. That is insane. Yeah. Literally insane that they all hit and they're very prevalent today.
That's two guys who already their cards hit secondary market, they hit eBay, whatever. They're going for almost 20 grand. I think Vlad Guerrero Jr., the way he's playing right now, his card is on that way.
Yep.
I would say I don't know, and again, there's a lot of Bowman left in our lifetimes, but I genuinely am not sure we're ever going to see a trio of players that good out of one class.
Yeah, I mean, if we have to hand out an award, that literally 16 Bowman Chrome wins the award for the best in the last 10 years.
Best of the
as
best,
of right now. Sure. Right in April of 2021. So,
and something too we were touching on as we were compiling this list is these are three guys who weren't drafted.
Right.
These were all three international prospects. Three guys that basically you could have watched as much college baseball as you wanted, and you're not really going to know much about these guys. And almost every huge guy we talked about, there's a few guys who were draft guys, but like it's mostly these guys. It's the Acuñas. It's the Luis Roberts. It really speaks to how baseball.
Yeah.
Yu Darvish, Shohei Ohtani. These guys, international.
Yeah, more guys on this list were international rather than drafted, which is crazy if you think about it.
Speaks to the way baseball is trending right
now. Yeah, and that leads us right into, segues right into 17, which was highlighted by Ronald Acuña. There's a lot of other big names in there. I think Royce Lewis had his first start in 17, Joe Adell as well. But obviously Acuña, with the way the stats are right now, with the way his prices are, 17 was Acuña's year. And really from a design, probably one of my least favorite Bowman designs would be 15 and 17. But Ronald Acuña, that hype. He sells his brother's cards. I mean, that's how crazy his hype is.
Yeah. He's part flavor of the month right now and part, like, he is the real deal, and he has been. I mean, the fact that there are guys you mentioned that, oh, here's all these other guys, and none of the either they've seen maybe a minute of major league time or they have seen none at all, and Ronald Acuña is not only in the majors, he is at least the top five player in baseball right now. Might be the MVP favorite right now. Only what, 23?
It's so crazy.
He's really something special. I can't wait. He's healthy again. I'm really excited.
He's got to run out those flyouts, you know. That's what you got to make sure you do.
When you got that much swag, you don't need to do that. Just pop the chain, you're fine. Look at him. This guy's, come on. Love him.
We're going to talk about swag. We're going to 18, and we're going to talk about Shohei Ohtani, who's got the most swag at this moment in baseball with what he's doing. And then you got Luis Robert, too, which is the famous, I think it was either Aquafina or one of those water bottles. It's the water bottle shop, him on signing day.
The Dasani card.
Dasani, right. Yeah. They're getting advertising without even asking for advertising. And it was him with a great big smile because he just got a lot of money and he was ready to play. So those are the two highlights of 18 Bowman, which I feel really transcended this hobby in many ways amongst all sports. That was like the beginning of our bubble. Specifically, you know, with group breaks, it was like Ohtani mania. It turned into Lonzo mania, which turned into Zion mania, to where we're at LaMelo and Herbert, and now we're talking Trevor Lawrence. It was kind of the beginning of the uphill climb, in my opinion.
And you can trace it, too, for Luis Robert. I mean, the fact that he becomes a rookie in 2020, when I think things just go nuclear in the hobby in a good way. It all starts, you're right, in 2018. And Shohei, I found it, I guess surprised isn't the word, but I just did find it interesting. I would say if you take a look right now at the recent sales of Shohei cards versus recent sales of Luis Robert card, I think it's about even right now. And Shohei may actually have a bit of an advantage right
now.
I think that all the hype, his incredible start, and a little bit of like a slower start for Luis Robert, and then obviously last year he had his struggles.
Yeah.
I think it's all sort of evening out. Obviously, they still love Luis Robert, but it is kind of awesome to see, like, it's how Shohei has just once again taken things over.
Yeah, definitely. And then 19, you got to give it to Wander, which he debunks the trend of Rays prospects. You had the Evan Longoria, which is from 2007, which there's also a mystery behind that. I don't think the superfractor was ever pulled. People are still wondering where the Evan Longoria prospect superfractor is.
Still waiting.
But, yeah, it's still somewhere. Someone's got it in a box.
You could be the one.
You could be the one. Probably be worth like a quarter of what it would have been worth in 07, 08, or 09. But
it's having a good season. Come on.
Everybody always said Rays are not the guy, not the team that you want to collect prospect from. Nobody cares. They don't sell out games. They've never won. I mean, they've made playoffs, obviously, but there's never been a big name in the Rays. Well, this is the guy that debunks that trend. Wander Franco, number one prospect of baseball. Probably one of the number one selling Bowman guys at the moment, too.
Yeah. Wander is about to be ready. It sounds like maybe in summer of 2021, we're going to see the debut of Wander Franco. Really, I know it feels like it's been forever because last year there was no minor league baseball, so we didn't get to see him, but a really fast track to the major leagues. If he can come up in June or July of this year, a really fast track. And then, of course, in 2020, we got to talk about Jason Dominguez.
Absolutely.
Who is, I
the
think,
opposite of Wander Franco on the team you want your
exactly.
prospect to be on.
To me, the perfect like representation of everything the hobby kind of became in 2020, where it's this guy that we're not going to see him play at all because of COVID, and there's no games, and he's like 16 years old, or I think he's a little older than that. But everybody and their mother wanted to snag that card, and it's still going for insane prices. He's still, I would say, number one or two when it comes to the top prospects in terms of the hobby. I am going to be really interested to see come May when minor league baseball starts. Are we going to finally see it? That's where finally the market is going to correct.
Right.
Itself.
We're going to see what he does. We're going to see what he gets. I mean, the kid is just a monster. He's like Hulk with a bat out there. I mean, it's insane. The velocity, the power that you see from batting practice. But when he has to face that talented pitcher, that Casey Mize or whoever, you know, these guys coming up, maybe the guys you talked about coming out of the draft from Vanderbilt, those pitchers that you were, or maybe not Vanderbilt, who's the Kumar Rockers
of the
world?
If you're going to have to face those Vandy boys, Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker, we'll see. Jason Dominguez stack up? I don't know.
Right, so we'll have to see that. And yeah, like I said, Yankees are always, anytime they have a kind of a little bit of a prospect out there, and Jason Dominguez is a huge prospect, people tend to trend that way and buy those teams. I mean, we had Greg Bird selling. People were clicking Greg Bird for years hoping he'd turn out to something. So, I mean, then Clint Frazier went to the Yankees. We were talking about him as possible one of the biggest busts. Well, Indians was his card, but then he went to the Yankees.
Probably why Gleyber continued to be successful, because even though he's on the Cubs, he's on the Yankees.
Yep, and Aaron Judge has had a little bit of leeway with his struggles as far as his prices are concerned. So, you know, Jason Dominguez does half of what he's expected to do. I think it's going to be good for his cards.
Absolutely.
So, well, don't hesitate. We're doing Bowman all week, 2021 Bowman. We got Hobby, we got Jumbo, we got Randoms, we got PYTs. We're going to do some mixer-type breaks, so check it out at mojobreak.com. See if you can grab your team. All cards ship in every one of our Bowman breaks. So you're worried about getting your paper, you're getting your paper in mojobreak.com's Bowman breaks this year. So I know other years we haven't, but this year we're like, hey, we're going to ship. We amped up the shipping department. We're shipping all paper-based. So, you know, none of that stuff on the forums of like, hey, who's not shipping paper-based? All your cards are going this year. So join Breaks at mojobreak.com for 2021 Bowman.
All right, well, there you have it, guys. The history of Bowman, and hopefully we're making some more history today. And maybe we already have. Maybe we already hit that super factor for all we know. So, we, you know.
I don't know what day it is.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Of course, go check us out. You're here on Mojo Break Media. If you're watching us, thank you so much. Subscribe to us. We've got more great videos to come. A new episode of The Break Room is coming very, very soon. And if you haven't already, I talked to Dallas Braden last week. We had a blast. Check that out. And much more to come on Mojo Break Media. If you're watching us and maybe you're not listening to us, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. And go to mojobreak.com for all your live breaks. And mojobreakshop.com. for all of your personal boxes, vintage wax, whatever you want. Dan, this was fun.
That's fun. See you later.
We'll see you guys. Peace.